you. Thank you for coming back tonight. Tonight you knew what you're getting into and you came anyway. And I appreciate it. Love this church. Love your pastor. Love the family and all the folks serving here. And my great honor to be here. Jeremiah chapter 32. Preacher, I apologize. I forgot to ask this morning. Do you stand here when you read the scripture? Okay. Stand with me. If you would, please. Jeremiah chapter 32. Look at verse 9. I'm sorry, verse 8. So, Hanamel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of the inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. Lord, would you help me? Give me your strength, your power, all that I need to do what you want me to do. Open our hearts to your truth. Bind the devil and his demons. Don't let them snatch the seed of your word away from the soil of our hearts. Help us to determine we'll be good, open, receptive ground, willing to hear and obey whatever you say. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I believe in real estate. I don't have Social Security. Well, I get $200 and some a month because of my wife. And some years ago, the Lord said to me, you're going to be an old man drooling in the corner of somebody else's house. You got to do something. He led me across a book about buying houses with nothing down. Well, that appealed to me because that's what I had. So I read the book. I got some advice. I bought some rental properties. I don't understand the stock market. If you do, God bless you. I really don't understand cyber currency. Don't get it. But I know about houses. They have furnaces and hot water heaters and windows and doors. I understand that. And I've got a great real estate investment for you. It's worth it at peak, $1 million. It's perfectly located. And I can get it for you today for $20,000. Sound like a deal? Just one issue. It's in Ukraine. Hanamel is Jeremiah's cousin. Jeremiah is in jail for preaching the word of God. Not for doing wrong, for doing right. Hanamel comes to him in jail. He doesn't say, how you doing? He doesn't say, you want a blanket? He doesn't say, can I get some food for you? He just says, hey, buy my field, would you? Can you imagine that? Jeremiah in jail. You don't have any money in jail. You're not worried about investments in jail, but it's worse than that. The field is outside Jerusalem, which is under siege. The enemy's been there for months. They're going to be there for more months. Soldiers are there. Famine is coming to Jerusalem because of the siege. Pestilence, God says, is coming. But it gets worse than that. Fields by Anathoth. And the men of Anathoth have threatened to kill Jeremiah because of what he preaches. Sound like a great deal? What's the deal? The interesting thing is the verse before we read, God told Jeremiah that Hanamel would come, and he told him to buy the field. Now, he buys it for 17 shekels of silver. Best I can tell, that's dirt cheap. Abraham paid 400 shekels. David paid 600 shekels. Really a good deal. He buys it. The thing is, the children of Israel are going to Babylon, the captivity, and they're going to be there, Jeremiah just said in chapter 29, for 70 years. Be a little while before he gets to plant it. Be a little while before he gets anything out of it. So, God gives Jeremiah a project. It's beset with problems. Jeremiah very obediently fulfills fulfills what he's told to do. And then he prays a prayer. Look at verse 17. Good prayer. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out thine arm. Read this with me. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel, mighty in work. For thine eyes are open unto all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his way and according to the fruit of his doings, which have set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and to Israel, and among other men, and hast made thee a name as it is this day, and hast brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs, with wonders, with a strong hand, with a stretched out arm, with great terror, and hast given them the land which thou didst swear to their fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. They came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They've done nothing of all thou commanded them to do. Wow. Therefore, thou hast caused all this evil to come unto them. Now watch. Jeremiah starts with great faith. Nothing too hard for God. Look where he goes now. Behold, the mounts, they're come unto the city to take it, and the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans to fight against it because of the sword, the famine, the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken has come to pass. And behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money and take witnesses. The city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Jeremiah says, God, I did what you told me, but it doesn't make any sense. Now watch what God says. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, would you look at verse 17 while I read verse 27? Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? God asks Jeremiah what Jeremiah just said to him. He says, Jeremiah, do you believe what you said? How many believe there's nothing impossible with God? How many believe God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory? How many believe there is nothing too hard for God? How many believe Dr. Hudson was right when he's saying we're on the winning side? Amen. Okay. So here's the deal. We are in a messed up country. Crazy. Inflation. Still people masking because of COVID. All kinds of wickedness in our school. God bless you, Virginians, for putting somebody better in power. I'm glad you did that. But there's still teachers in your schools today trying to teach all that garbage. People telling little children they might want to change their gender. Encouraging them to have permanent life-affecting surgery without letting their parents know. It's terrible. And the Federal Reserve is going to keep raising rates. Things are going to get more expensive. Fewer and fewer people will be able to afford a house. Not enough houses for the ones who need them. What are we going to do? Well, I recommend we just lay low. I recommend just hang on to what you got. You're going to lose money because of inflation, but he who loses least wins. It's one way to look at it. And as a church, I suspect you probably wouldn't want to have too much outreach right now. People nervous. And you probably wouldn't want to start any new bus routes. Is that right? You know what God said, Jeremiah? You are in an awful mess. You're in jail. You're under siege. You're under times of famine and pestilence. The armies are around you. They hate you in Anathoth. So buy the field. This is no time for the people of God to go backward. Amen. It's hard to build a building with 8% inflation. I know, I did it a couple times. I did it with more than that inflation. I did it. We did it at our church with 15% unemployment. And God told us to build. We did it one time. It was really stupid. We were not making our budget. We were in about 1983, and we were $163 a week under budget. Budget was probably $3,000-$4,000 back then. And God told us to build a building, to borrow money, to go into debt, to have more payments while we weren't making the budget. Anybody here an accountant? Not a good idea, is it? But God told us to do it. So God's message to Jeremiah is extremely important. Now, I want to encourage you, and this is so timely for the Fellowship Baptist Church. You purchased property. Great piece of property, man. And I don't know your prices here, but it looks to me like you got a really good deal on it. And wonderful location. No debt here. Trying to raise money for the building fund. And so, God has come to you and he said, I want you to buy a field. I want you at a bad time to go forward and to build a building. The heavenly trumpet is not blowing retreat. It is calling us to charge. God is not telling us to back off. He's telling us to go forward. The song doesn't say stand fast, Christian soldiers. It says onward, Christian soldiers. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. It doesn't stay still. It moves. So here's a few thoughts about this particular portion of Scripture. Number one, there is always an excuse not to do the work of God. Always an excuse. You can always find some little thing to say, well, we shouldn't because of this, we shouldn't because of that, we shouldn't because of something else. And there will be some sincere people who will come and say, Pastor, do you really think this is wise? You think you ought to wait a few years? You think you ought to wait till things get a little better? There's always an excuse not to do the work of God. There is never a reason. Let me say that again. Always an excuse to do the work of God. Never a reason not to do the work of God. 1952. I heard the other day the consumer confidence is as low now as it's been since 1952. Lowest it's been. People aren't looking forward. They're excited. They don't have high hopes about the future. Since 1952. Do you know what happened in 1952? Surely you know. You must know. I'm very disappointed. I was born. Now suppose my parents said, well, we better not start a family. We better wait. We better back off. I wouldn't be here. Whatever I've been able to do for the cause of Christ by his grace and power would not have been done. Not always an excuse, not a reason. Number two, we already know the answer to most of our doubts. Jeremiah says, God, why did you ask me to do this? God says, Jeremiah, what did you say to me 10 verses ago? You know God can do anything. You know we ought to obey God rather than man. You know that God wants the gospel to the entire world. You know that the battle is the Lord's. You know that the tithe is the Lord's. You know all that. You know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. You know that Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than the brother. You know the answer. You just need to remind yourself. And sometimes God comes along and he says, hey, do you believe what you've been saying all these years? Number three, God does not want us regretting the past or worrying about the present. He wants us investing in the future. See, some people have a bad past. I do. My past is so bad, I deserve to be in hell. Really do. So the Bible says, I think yours is too. And the devil brings some of those things to our mind. Ah, you can't serve God. Look what you did. Isn't that shameful? Wasn't that embarrassing? Well, when the devil, somebody said, reminds you of your past, just remind him of his future. And when you go to God about that, saying, God says, because he takes our sins and puts them under the blood of Jesus Christ, removes them as far as the east is from the west, buries them under the deepest sea, and remembers them no more. He don't want us regretting the past. He don't want us worrying about the present. Oh no, what's going to happen? What if Joe Biden doesn't die? He already did. What if we don't get the Senate? What if we don't get the House? What if they keep doing more stupid stuff? I bet you God's up in heaven wringing his hands about Washington, D.C. You know, the Bible says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Laugh. God is grieved with sin, but he's not a bit worried about it. You shouldn't be either. He will accomplish his purpose. We are on the winning side. No weapon that is formed against us will prosper. Don't regret the past. Don't worry about the present. Invest in the future. David says to Nathan the prophet, hey, I want to build God a house. I live in a really nice house. God's in that old tent, 500 years old, been replaced countless times. Nathan says, go ahead, God's with you. That night, God comes to Nathan and says, hey, buddy, you should have checked with me first. David's not going to build my house. David's a man of war. He's a bloody man. His son's going to build the house. Now you're Nathan, and you got to go to David and give him the bad news. Wow. What's David going to do? Imagine how grieved, how disappointed. And David's an emotional man. He's up and down. Some people think he's bipolar. I don't know that. I do know he had highs and lows. He certainly had a temperament type that could go high and could go low. And David says, what? My son's going to build God a house, and my descendants are going to serve in it for generations to come. Praise God! And he gathers money, and he organizes people, and he gives Solomon great advice. We miss this. We brag on Solomon for asking for wisdom. You know I did it, because Daddy told him to. Solomon said to David, only the Lord God of thy fathers give thee wisdom and understanding. Later on, God said, what do you want? Solomon said, I want wisdom. He was following David's instruction, his father's advice. Now, David never saw the temple, but he was a big part of it. Number four, most of what we do will bear fruit later. Church is 25 years old. Would all the charter members please raise their hand? I see one. Thank you. Come on over here. Two. You know what that means. Three. We're getting better. Hey, I need four, I need five. Most of you are enjoying the fruit of someone else's labor, somebody else's vision, somebody else's sacrifice. In those early days, meeting one place and another place and another place, some, you all moved around quite a bit, some distance to another. Years ago, I was out knocking on doors, first year or two at our church, on a street called Gallagher. There's a couple, older couple, painting their house. A man was up on a ladder. I said, can I talk to you? They said, no, we're busy. I said, I'll help you paint if you'll let me talk to you. They said, no. I said, all right. Give him a track. He said, if I could ever help you, let me know. Years went by, probably 5 years maybe. Phone rings. Pastor Ouellette, yes. This is Sarah Brousseau. Do you remember me? I said, no, ma'am. She said, I live on Gallagher Street. Do you remember me? I said, no, ma'am. I'm sorry, I don't. She said, you came by our house and asked to talk to us some years ago. I said, I'm sorry, I don't remember. She said, my husband was on a ladder painting. You offered to help us paint. I said, I remember that. She said, you said if you could ever help us to give you a call. I said, I don't remember that. Her husband was sick in the hospital. I went to see him, led him to Christ, did his funeral, led Sarah to Christ. She became a sweet, faithful member of First Baptist Church of Bridgeport, widow lady, modest house. Husband worked for General Motors. We're building one of our early buildings, and we had to sell bonds to build our buildings. We couldn't borrow the money from the bank because we didn't. Banks are institutions that loan money to people who can prove they don't need it. And it was hard work selling those bonds. 8% interest, I'd take that now. And right in the middle of that, out every day, morning, night, knocking on doors, trying to sell bonds, Sarah Brousseau called me up. Hi, Pastor. Hi, Sarah. Can you come see me this morning? Sure, Sarah. I'll be glad to. I went over to her house. She reached into her apron pocket and pulled out $5,000 cash. She said, I want to buy some of those bonds. I said, you want the short term or the long term? She said, oh, I don't care. I said, well, the long term are harder to sell. She said, yeah, give me them. Wow. About 2 weeks later, it was a Thursday, my wife and I get ready to go soul winning. I get a call. Pastor, this is Sarah Brousseau. Can you come see me? Yes, ma'am. Went to the house. She reached her apron pocket, pulled out $4,000. I put it in my jacket pocket and went soul winning. Ate at Ponderosa, bought a 99-cent steak with $4,000 in my pocket. And Sarah said, Pastor, I won't be here when those bonds come due. I just want you to use the money for the church. You know what she's doing? She's buying a field. I'm about the only person who believes I ought to be here this week. My wife was not encouraged that I was coming. My pastor asked her this morning, and he didn't harm his voice by preaching too soon. And other people said, boy, he needs to stay home. The 2 weeks after the radiation and chemo end are some of the worst weeks, they say. My last treatment was last Tuesday, so I'm not a week out yet. And then the other day I came down with a mild case of shingles. I got shingles in my lower leg. So I feel like the fellow was so unlucky when he finally got his kidney transplanted, came from a bedwetter. See, why are you here? I thought maybe I could put some money on a field. Amen. I thought maybe I could do something that helped the cause of Christ. I thought maybe I could be an encouragement to somebody. One more statement. You know that in the Bible, the chapter and verse divisions are not inspired. Man put them in there to help us find scripture. I'm glad they did. Some of them are stupid. Some of them stop in the middle of sentences. But I'm glad they're there. So there is no division between Jeremiah chapter 32 and Jeremiah chapter 33. And it is in the context of this story that God says to Jeremiah, call unto me, and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know what God has in store for the Fellowship Baptist Church? Great and mighty things. But I don't know that you don't know, but he knows. But you got to buy the field. Every time you pass out a tract, every time you knock on the door, every time you teach a class, every time you up on a bus route, every time you put a playground together, every time that you invest in somebody's life through discipleship, every time that you put money in the offering, every time you give to the building fund, buying the field. Stephen Grellet was part of the guard of Louis XIV. He left France, escaped the revolution. He was one of the royalty, changed his name, went to London, moved to Pennsylvania and got saved, began to preach. One day the Spirit of God impressed him to go preach at a lumber camp. Lumberjacks, rough, tough, vain, outdoorsmen, ungodly men. God said, go preach there. Stephen Grellet went there and the camp was empty. Not a soul inside, everybody left. He stood in that dining hall and said, God, you told me to come here. What am I supposed to do? And God said, preach. So he preached the gospel to an empty dining hall. 7 years later, he's in London, walking across the London Bridge. A man approaches him with great animation and says, there you are, there you are. I thought I'd never see you again. Sir, I'm sorry, I don't know you. No, he said, you don't know me, but I know you. He said, you remember, you went to a lumber camp and nobody was there, and you preached the gospel. They'd forgotten some materials. I went back to get the equipment. I heard you preach. I stayed there. I listened. I got under conviction. I got saved. And today I am a preacher of the gospel. Amen. Now, some of you, like me, qualify as senior citizens. You will not see much of your investment in the new property. Somebody will. And it'll matter a whole lot to the cause of Christ. An old man traveling a lone highway came at evening cold and gray to a chasm vast and deep and wide in which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim, for the sullen stream held no fears for him. But he paused when he reached the other side, and he built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, cried a fellow traveler near, you're wasting your time with building here. Your journey will end with passing day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you a bridge at eventide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, on the path I have come, he said, there followeth after me today a youth who also must pass this way. This sullen stream which has been is not to me. To that fair-haired child may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him by the field. Lord, help us to hear the voice of your Spirit and respond as you wish. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Did the Spirit of God speak to your heart? Are there some investments you need to make? Have you backed off a little bit in your spirit, in your attitude, because of all the terrible things going on around us? You're a little less likely to witness at work and be a bold testimony for Christ. The Lord has a very simple instruction for us. I don't care if you're in jail. I don't care if they want to kill you. I don't care if there's a battle raging all around you. I want you to buy the field. Who says, preacher, I want to buy the field. God's dealt with me about it. Pray for me. You say that. Hold your hand up high. Would you do that? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Lord, bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand to your feet.